again.
You hold her down.
Amen.
Do it again.
Ruby said, do it again. Okay, even though it's on the screen, turn with me to Micah so you can say you've been there once in your Micah chapter number 7. Now, we're going to be in Deuteronomy. But this is where we're going to start. Micah chapter number 7. You can read verse number 18. While you're turning there, I'll go ahead and tell the boba story so I can get out in front of it. So, I did not know that a boba drink consists of juice and little gross bubbles. I did not know that. I thought I had a yummy little juice. I was just going to drink it away and enjoy my day. So I'm talking to Brother Chris, and next thing you know, unbeknownst to me, I have no clue what it is. Comes, boop. I'm like I've got a terrible gag reflex. Let me say that. So something, I don't know what it is. I know it's not fruit. Something comes in my mouth, starts its way down my throat, and Brother Chris says I was turning blue in the face. And I did not know that once it popped and I realized it was safe, it was okay. But I will never drink another boba ever. I'll drink a boba without the boba is what I say. But yeah, that's what happened. It's life threatening. It was touch and go for a second, but no. but yes, so that is the boba story. Don't ask Brother Chris to tell you it. Whatever he says is a lie. So okay, so Micah chapter 7, verse 18. This morning, the thought as we go into Deuteronomy chapter 2 and 3, and as one preacher said, I know that's a statement of faith, but my goal is to cover those two chapters today. We're not going to dig deep. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to keep you here till this time tonight or this time tomorrow. I'm not going to do that. But we're going to cover these two chapters as we in the chapters before us today, a God who delights in mercy. That's the title of the message. A God who delights in mercy. And I believe every child of God in the room can testify that I thank the Lord that we have got a God who delights in mercy. And that's why I wanted to springboard this thought this morning. If you've got the Bible open there, please stand in reverence to God's holy word. I know it's on the screen. So if you do not have a copy of God's Word, it's there for you. Micah chapter number 7, verse number 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Brother Chris Clifford, would you pray for us?
Worship, Lord, I pray that you would just touch the heart of your people, Lord, every person here, Lord, just get them, their hearts stirred, Lord, so that we can worship and glorify you the way we were designed to. Lord God, I pray that Pastor, God, I pray that you would just give him the words to say.
Yes.
Lord, help him to recall what he studied, and Lord, just place your words in his mouth so that he can speak them to us. Lord,
yes.
God, help us to open our minds and our hearts so that we can receive it. And take you with us when we leave your holy house today. People, Lord, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know you, Lord, as their personal Savior. Lord God, I pray that they would get that peace today. Lord God, this altar is open at any time, Lord, for us to do business with you. Lord God, I pray that you just help us now. Go with us, manifest your presence. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. There's maybe a major statement of faith now that I look at my watch, but again, to this wonderful book of Deuteronomy, we come to a book where Moses, 120 years old at the time, he has 1 month until his life will end, and he wants to impart what the Lord has given him to this new generation. Remember, Deuteronomy means second law. It is not Moses giving another law, but a repetition of the law, but not just verbatim a repetition, but an exposition of the law and how that it applies to the people there. Because previously, a lot of times when you hear the law, it's directed toward the Levites and the priests. But this one is directed toward all of Israel. And now, as they've wandered in the wilderness 38 years, they stand at the brink of the promised land. And from that place, around in the area of Kadesh Barnea, Moses is imparting this knowledge to him before he goes on to heaven. And one thing I did not give last time that I want to give now is an outline of the book of Deuteronomy. And shockingly, it's only 3 points. And you can break this down, the book of Deuteronomy, into three discourses from Moses to the people of Israel with three specific goals in mind. The first part of the book of Deuteronomy, we see that you can put as remembering the past, which is where we are now. Remembering the past. That's chapters 1 through 4. Now, it's not in the outline, but if you want to break down chapters 1 through 4, we see in chapter 1 the misconduct of Israel. Chapter 2 and 3, and that's where we're going to be at this morning, the mercy of God. And then chapter 4, the message of God. So remembering the past, chapters 1 through 4. Then we see in chapters 5 through 26, we see rules or regulations or requirements, whatever you want to put there, for the present. Rules for the present. How they are supposed to live in light of who they are and what God has done for them. How that cannot be more applicable to us. Ephesians. Well, I love that book. It tells us of our spiritual bank account. Lets us know who we are, what He's done, what we have in Him, and because of that, live this way. And that's what Moses is saying here. Because of what He's done, because of who you are, this is how you should live. And as we look at these regulations, as we go to them in the future, I understand some of them are not going to be literally applicable to us. And in some cases, I say praise the Lord in regards to the dietary restrictions that they made. Although, Brother John, I'm eating better. Praise the Lord. But the goal of it all, as we look at that, you need to understand, God's goal was to make them different from the world. We, as His children, should be different. We should be different. Not better, not better than them, but different than them. Because we are children of the God of the universe. So, remembering the past, chapters 1 through 4. Rules for the present, chapters 5 through 26. Readying for the planned or the future. I say planned because God ordained it. God had plans. But readying for the planned, chapters 27 through 34. A lot of things happen. End. The last few chapters are not written by Moses because he's not alive. We'll see that they're readying for the plan, remembering the past, rules for the present, readying for the plan. Another thing that I want to give you, and the more I think about it, I'm not going to get very far today, but another thing I want to give you is the theme verse of this book, and that is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the house of bondage." That's exactly what the moms and dads of the people he's talking to did. God did great things for them, but it's like they forgot it. They did. And every time they got the spot, "Oh, the Lord's brought us here to die." No, you forgot. He just literally split the Red Sea for you. And how many times do we do that as children of God? And that's one thing we need to remember every day. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. You say, "Well, I don't forget the Lord." Well, sometimes we live like it. Beware lest you forget the Lord. And that is even in seasons of good times. I think in the context of chapter 6, it's saying when you get what I promised you, don't forget God. But that is the theme verse of Deuteronomy. Moses wants this generation to not do what their parents did. They forgot God. They disobeyed God, and that's why they're in the situation that they're in. So now we go to the book of Deuteronomy. And as we think about today, and like I said, I may not get very deep into the message, but we're thinking about a God who delights in mercy. Because we see, number one, as we kind of set the stage, we saw in chapter 1, verses 19 through 46, the crime of these sinners, of the people of Israel. God said, "Here is the land I promised you. Go take it. There's going to be battles when you get there, but I'm going to fight for you. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to do what I promised," is what God told them. But what did they do? They said, "Well, let's send spies in and let them search out the land, do some reconnaissance." That sounds like a good idea. But the only problem is God had already done the reconnaissance. God had told them. But them doing that was an act of unbelief. The spies went in. We know 12 came back. 10 gave an evil report. Although they said, "It is good like God told us, but we can't take it." But then Caleb and Joshua say, "Hey, the Lord, if the Lord be with us, we can get it." Which he would be, because he promised he would be. And because of their disobedience and they did not believe God, God said, "Okay, you're going to turn around and wander in the wilderness for 38 years. And how sad is that? Being on the brink of the promised land and then having to turn around and go the other way because of sin. That's one thing we need to remember. Limit God's work in our lives. Our disobedience, our lack of faith. One thing as I was reading and studying, not really in the text today, but God promised Israel 300,000 square miles of land. But in the Bible, and don't say it out loud, but think, can anybody take a guess as to how many they actually occupied? Some say approximately 30,000 square miles. They were promised and given 300,000 square miles, but they only possessed 30,000 of that. How many of us are like that? Oh, what we have in Jesus. Oh, what we have in our spiritual bank account. That is ours. But just like a gift, doesn't really do you any good till you open it. See, and so many times, sin or disobedience, lack of faith, hinder us from taking possession of what God has for us. I promise it's way more than what He's doing now. And He's doing great things. But God's got so much more for us that we can't even imagine. But these people here turned their back and said, "No, we're not going in." Then God said, "Okay, you're going to wander for 38 years. And they said, "Okay, we'll go back." Well, guess what? That's not how it works. We don't do things on our prerogative. God said go in. The time to go in was when God said so. Same thing with salvation. People think you get when you want to. That's not how it works. The Bible says no man coming to me except the Father which sent me draw him. You come when God's drawing. And I believe if the Lord's not drawing, you can't get saved. Because it's a work of God in you. Now, it's not our place to say, "Well, God's not drawing that kid. Let's not talk to him." We are not to be spirit inspectors. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to people is when people say, when God's dealing with them, and they say, I'll wait. I'll do it when it's convenient for me. But then God stops dealing with them. I've heard of people that have done to people. And it's too late. We do things on God's timetable. They didn't. God said, "Okay, turn around and walk in the wilderness for 38 years. They said, "Okay, we'll go now." But God said, "Mm-mm. You go up, I'm not going with you." And it showed their heart wasn't truly repentant. Because if their heart were, although they had disobeyed, and although they were going to reap the consequences of their actions, the safest place for them to be was in the wilderness. Why? Because that's where God was. And see, that's something that I want us to see as far as we can get into this chapter today, is the mercy of God on these wretched people. And let us not think that they're worse than us. When you see the mercy of God on them, think of His mercy on you. Mercy is us not getting what we truly deserve. And what we truly deserve is the worst possible outcome in every single situation in our life. That's what we deserve. You say, I don't deserve that. Then you need to look at God and realize who you actually are, not who you think you are. We're wretched sinners. Apart from God's grace, we are awful. Anything less than the worst is mercy. That's why I love that song, and I heard you say it earlier, Brother Bruce Fry, Better Than I Deserve. It says, no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I deserve. See, I thank the Lord we serve a God of mercy. I thank the Lord. There's a verse in Psalms I love. It says, basically it said that David is thanking God, thank you that you haven't dealt with me according to my iniquity. Thank you that you didn't give me what I deserved. Because if God gave all of us what we truly deserve, not one person would be sitting here right now. We would all be in the depths of hell for all eternity. Because that's what we deserve. But God has been merciful to us. And I praise His holy name. So we see the crime of the sinners. And we see number 2, in chapter 2, verse 1. We see the circling of Mount Seir. And this is what you see in the life of a Christian who's got sin that they don't want to deal with. Just walking in circles. Not making any progress. Just standing still, basically. Because until you're willing to deal with it, then you're not going to move forward for the Lord. It says, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed, we circled Mount Seir many days. So they just started walking in circles. They're near the promised land. God said, go in, I'm going to give it to you. They said, no, we don't believe you. You say, well, that's not what they said. That's exactly what they said with how they acted. How many of us do that sometimes? God says, this is yours. I give it to you. You may not say, God, I don't believe you, but maybe that's how you act because you don't act in faith. What do we read in Hebrews chapter 11? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So they're walking in circles around Mount Seir, not going anywhere. Just basically, just marking time as they walk around Mount Seir. So we see the circling of Mount Seir. Then we see the command from the sovereign, from God. Verse number 2 of chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. So God said, deal with this. And see, that's how you deal with sin. You want to get back on the right track, going the direction God wants you to go. Even if you have messed up, turn. Turn. Turn from that back to Him. Whatever it is, turn. That's what repentance is. Turning your back on whatever it is you're doing. You say, well, I don't know. You don't know how hard of a struggle that is for me. I may not, but I know God can give you the grace to get victory over that. I told them in Sunday school this morning, that doesn't mean the temptation will go away. I praise the Lord, there are some people who, when God saved them or gave them victory over something, He took the desire completely out of their life. They're numb to it now. Praise the Lord for that. That's a miracle. But there are some people, and I know some very godly people that God saved them from stuff. God gave them victory over stuff, but they say, every day when I get up, that tempts me. But that doesn't mean God's given them any less victory. That true victory is when you are tempted and God gives you the grace to say no. That's victory. Because guess what? Our flesh can't say no. See, we've been free in Christ. When He saved us, we have freedom to say no to sin by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. That's what we've got to do. The command from the sovereign to turn. To turn. And we'll get as far in this as we can. So we see the command from the sovereign. Now we see the clemency or the mercy of the sovereign. And there are some situations as we go through this where you may look at it and you may say, that's not mercy. What is mercy? Us not getting what we truly deserve. And what we truly deserve is the worst possible outcome in every situation, and anything short of that is mercy. And see, when you look at it like that, which is how you should, you see God's mercy surrounding you every day. So we see the clemency of the sovereign. The first thing we see, it makes me think of the book of Jonah, chapter number 3, I believe it is. But is His mercy in His proclamation? God could have never talked to them again. That's what they deserve. That's what we deserve. We don't deserve this. God doesn't owe us anything. We deserve dead silence from God, split hell wide open, and to go there for all eternity, not knowing why. That's what we deserve. But God, in His mercy, He spoke to them again. He could have said, you disobeyed. You don't want to go what I've given you? Okay, I'm done with you. But I love the book of Jonah. It said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I'm looking at a group of people that I'm sure many could testify. I thank the Lord that the Lord spoke to me a second time. Or if we're honest with ourselves, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. I thank God for that. He didn't kick us to the side. Look here, it says, and the Lord spake unto me, because the Lord spoke through Moses to them, saying, ye have compassed this mount long enough, turn you northward. So we see His mercy in His proclamation. He spoke to them again. We see also His mercy in His faithfulness to His promises. And in this case, we see faithfulness to His promises to Esau, a wicked man, and to Lot, who, if all we had was the Old Testament, we would think is in hell right now. But the New Testament says he was a righteous man. See, God is faithful to His promises. They do not hinge on our actions. Thank the Lord. So I was talking to a young lady last night who was, one of her friends was telling her that you could lose your salvation. If our salvation was up to us to get it or up to us to keep it, we could lose it. But it's not up to us to get it. The faith that we had in the Lord when we got saved, He gave us. It is 100% start to finish a work from God. So He saved us. He gave us the faith to trust Him. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that we responded in faith. I'm not going all Calvinistic. We responded, but God gave us the gift of faith. We trusted God. And guess what? At that moment, we were in His hand. Remember, we talked about Sunday school this morning. It's not in the amount of faith we have, but what our faith is in. Our faith is in God. Because if it was up to us to have the appropriate amount of faith, well, some of us would go to heaven, some of us wouldn't. That's prosperity gospel, if you just have just enough faith. No, it's what it's in, not how much you have. We see here it's not in us, it's in Him. We're in the hand of God. God is faithful to His promises. He was faithful to wicked Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Who out of spite for his parents, married two pagan women. I mean, the man, he did many wicked things. And then Lot, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then before you know it, guess what? He was in Sodom. Now, I'm not gonna dig deeply there, but let that principle stick. Spend time near Sodom before too long, you're going to be in it. Well, what do you mean by that? Sodom was a wicked place full of abominations. Spend time near or around the world for too long, you'll start acting like it. That's another thing we need to understand. We are capable of committing any sin. Because your flesh is still here. Thank God when we get to heaven, this flesh is going to be left behind. Then my desire to sin will leave me. But until then, our capability, we have dangerous capabilities in our flesh. We need God to help us. We see here he is faithful to his promises. Very quickly, verses 5 and 6. We'll start in verse 4. And commanded thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau. So even though Esau lived a wicked life, he gave him the land that was due him, that was promised him. Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God, we'll deal with verse 7 here in just a moment. So we see here, he's faithful to his promise in verse 8, and when ye pass by from your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir through the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The Emims dwelt there in time past, and people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emims. Verse 12, the Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead as Israel dwelt in their stead. And Israel did unto the Lord as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. So the Lord even fought for Esau and Lot. God keeps his promises. They do not hinge on us. We see here, and it goes on also, verses 16, so it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, Lord spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day, and when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for possession. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzamims. What a cool word there. A people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them. The Lord fought for them. And they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. And as mercy in his proclamation. He talked to him again. We see his mercy in his faithfulness to his promises to Esau and to Lot. Although they were wicked, God was still faithful, because God's faithfulness does not hinge on our actions. God is faithful, and he will forever be faithful. And I thank the Lord for that. So we see not only his mercy in those ways, but we see also his mercy in his provisions. In his provisions, we see chapter 2, verse 7. Remember, Israel had just basically spat in the face of God and said, we don't believe you. We're not going to take the inheritance you've promised us. But look what verse 7 says. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. They wandered in the wilderness for 38 years. But God took care of them every step of the way. What mercy. A people who basically said, we don't want what you have to offer. But then it talks about later on in the Old Testament that their clothes did not wither. Their sandals did not wear. It's like Brent, like the day they bought them. They could have bought a pair of Air Jordans, and guess what? The last day of their walking, they could look at their feet and see them brand new. God took care of them. What mercy. And how many people in the room think in your heart, you basically done the same thing. I have too, as Israel did, but God was faithful, and he still took care of you and me. I love the passage of Scripture where Balak goes, sends to Balaam to curse Israel, the people who had disobeyed God and is wandering in the wilderness because of that. God could have said, okay, cool, I'll let him curse you. That's what you deserve. And that's true. But Balaam said, I can't curse what God has blessed. God called them His people. That's another wonderful thing. At the moment you get saved, you're a son or you're a daughter of God. That's the highest calling you'll ever receive. You may reach the pinnacle of whatever your profession is or sport, or maybe you even become the president of the United States. But you will never in any capacity have a higher title than son or daughter of God. Of God. So we see here His mercy and His provisions of victuals, but also of victories. And what I will probably do for sake of time, because that covers a major chunk of the rest of this chapter, is I guess I'm in Sunday school and in 11 a.m. we're going to use the bologna roll analogy and cut it off right here. But we'll continue on. And I encourage you, read chapter 2, chapter 3, and look for pictures of mercy. Because we know what they did. We need to get a proper perspective of what is truly deserved for the disobedient. I mean, what is truly deserved, if we're honest with ourselves, remember they were moving the Ark of the Covenant on a cart pulled by an ox, which was a sin anyways, because there was only one way it was to be transported. They weren't doing it right. But all Uzzah did, hit a pothole maybe, the ark rocked, touched it, just to catch it. God struck him dead on the spot. You say, that must have been a terrible sin that he committed. Or you may say, why did God do that? That wasn't much. That's how God feels about sin. Every sin. Every sin we commit, that's how God feels about it. And when we think about what we actually deserve and we see what we actually get, man, has God had great mercy on us. And I encourage you as you read that, look for pictures of mercy. What an encouragement that is. What an encouragement it is that I thank God we have a God that delights in mercy. And every child of God in the room, I believe, can say the same thing. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as Miss Anna comes to the piano, maybe you just want to come to the altar today and say, Lord, I thank You for Your mercy on me. Thank You for not dealing with me according to my sin. Because if you're still standing here and you're breathing, He has not. People are praying, the altar's still open. Up this way. Thank you for your kind attention today. As you could tell, we could have been here way longer, but Lord willing, next time we'll pick up where we left off.